Welcome back to the Easy with Francini running podcast. We've apologies for the 4 weeks off. Life's got in the way. I'm glad to see Richard is here with us today. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm doing well, thanks, Damien. Doing very well.
Good, good. Right, we're going to start with, oh, okay, I forgot to say. So we're going to, a little bit of a change of tack this week. We're going to go with not a deep dive training talk. We're going to give listeners a bit of a break from that for this episode, and we're going to talk about pet peeves. So, what do Richard and I find the most annoying trait of current runners? Or and that will come after our recap of our training. So, Richard, do you want to tell the listeners what you've been up to for the last month?
Well, yeah. Since we last spoke, I went to the gym as normal the rest of that week, and then on the Wednesday, so I guess we talked on the weekend. On the Wednesday, I went for a run with the group on the evening. So I did 3.7 miles, but I had to break it up because the weather was still pretty oppressive. So it was like 10 minutes, 2x5, 2x4, 2x3, and I just took like a 1 minute walk between each. But it was a good run because I kept the intensity up, and my average heart rate
Oh,
it
here we
was
go.
off.
Here we
My average
go.
heart rate was 170 beats per minute, and I think
Wow.
it's like it might as well have just been, having a heart attack. But it
That's
turns
a
out my heart rate can still reach 197. So,
big engine. Big
spring
engine.
chicken. I don't know if it's a big engine. I think it's just like a, a 2 horsepower, a two-stroke engine, No, is that what like a was it wasn't a motorbike. Really high revs, but not a lot of
Yeah,
power.
yeah, yeah.
So I did that run on Wednesday. It was really good, actually. It was a good run, but then I was sore for 3 or 4 days, and I didn't run or exercise for like a week and a half.
Re
So
recovery, recovery.
recovery, inactive recovery. It was probably a bit of a stretch too far, but I think I went for a bike ride the following Monday, just like a spin for an hour, and I felt better. But then work picked up, and I didn't really have the same sort of routine in there. However, since then, because it's been 4 weeks, I've got back on the horse. So the last week and a half, I've been to the gym a few times, doing my standard walking up steps. I've been out on a bike. I went out on the bike a couple of days ago just to spin, and I ran again with that group on the Wednesday, but in a more meaningful way. And it's drastically dropped temperature wise, right? It's like mid 20s Celsius now rather than mid 30s. So I ran last Wednesday, and I'll be exercising this weekend, back at the gym. So the last 8 9 days has been gym, running, cycling, probably 6 days, and then there was a couple of weeks of feeling sorry for myself. But
How was the soreness after your most recent run on the Wednesday?
it's absolutely fine. So I
Okay.
ran on the Wednesday evening, and I cycled on the Thursday. I did,
Okay.
like a 35-minute spin up and down around the neighborhood, and went for a walk as well. So I'm not concerned about that. The main reason is just, the temperature is so different that moving outside a month ago and moving outside now is a completely different experience. And I was running really hard. And in the gym itself, my heart rate's probably 140 as well. So I'm being a bit more, it's a bit more like what used to be a steady run.
Yeah, a bit
So
more
I'm not eyeballs every time I
sensible.
go exercise. So that's, I think I went into that run last time, like training hard every day, and then all of a sudden, it turns out that has a detrimental impact. But I'm gonna be still back on the same routine of being in the gym primarily, and then I do some running now because the weather's more favorable, and spinning on the bike as well. So I'm really optimistic, and I'm feeling a little bit fitter as well.
And will work is work going to be able to will it be able to manage things around work?
Yeah, as much as I've been in the past, yeah, this was just when you have, I don't know, for people who work with families or colleagues who have families, July and August is always quiet, and then September, when everyone gets back, is a little bit
Manic.
more kind of yeah. So just it was just those first 2 weeks where the adjustment from having to actually follow up on more things and actually do some work, heaven forbid.
Yeah, okay. Getting back into the that proper routine again.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so that but it's been good. So yeah, I'm happy with it, even with the break because of all the stuff I was doing earlier in July and August. I'm happy that there's still good progress and my body's in one piece. But that's me. How about you, Mr. Shoulder?
Yeah, Mr. Shoulder, very good. Yeah, so let me just pull up my training. I think when we last talked, I think I was about to start jogging, or I had started jogging. Let me just see. So, yes, this would have been the second week of, yeah. So I had just started. No, right. I was about to start jogging. Yes. Yeah, so the next week, I did a 10-minute jog, continued the cross training. I did some plyometrics, and in hindsight, it was probably a bit too much because there was quite a bit of reaction after that. So, yeah, the next week was just sort of 10, 15-minute runs, broken down. So, primarily just 5 minutes running slowly, 1 minute walk, something like that. And I think on that following Sunday, I managed 21 minutes total running. Again, broken down, and the Achilles is been okay. It's got better the last 2 weeks, but it was just trying to manage a bit of a reaction. But the primary thing I was looking for was that there wasn't any pain or too much of stiffness in the morning. That was the one thing I was trying to look at as the signs of how well the tendon was recovering and coping with the load. So I've dropped the cross training a little bit, and then that sort of coincided with going back to school. So just managing the having to get back in a routine and being on my feet all day. So yeah, the last this week and last week, so the following week I built up to sort of 20 minutes three or four times a week, and then this week I've actually built up to 30 minutes. So I've done 3 30-minute runs, again broken down often, and with I've held the plyometric, so I've not increased the volume of that.
So how's the Achilles doing? You say you're looking at it in the morning and
Yeah,
seeing how it feels. How's that?
it's not perfect. There's a tiny bit of stiffness occasionally, but the primary thing I'm looking for stiffness in the morning, which it's a lot better. So there is a little bit, but it's improving. And during my runs, there isn't stiffness now when I start. There's occasional minor issues during the run, but they're not there. They come and go. So it's not a consistent thing.
So, two things then. What are you doing to try and manage it? I know you're obviously increasing the training, gradually and decreasing other training loads, but what else are you doing to help it?
Yeah, good question. So I'm trying to load 3 times a week, but I'm actually going to hold my runs at 30 minutes now, until I can get to a place where. So my plyometrics primarily is off the ground. I want to be able to do something off a box, and that may take a couple more weeks. So I'm just going to hold my runs for 30 minutes. I may add some not high quality sessions, but something where you're working at sort of 10K half marathon efforts, nothing faster than that, just to develop some, just to break the runs up. And then I'm doing some gentle massage, stretching just to keep the mobility. But I'm finding that lunges and squats help a lot with that, so that dynamic loaded stretching. Other than that, it's also just not doing too much cross training. The issue is when I do too much, the calf gets fatigued, and that has a negative impact on the running. So it's just making the plyometrics and the running the focus of the training, rather than just trying to keep fit. I'm worried about losing my fitness, which doesn't really matter. It's very marginal. So
So, one more question about this then. So, if you compare the amount of cross training you were doing before you had any running in versus the amount of cross training you're doing now, what's the difference in kind of time spent cross training? So, not in the gym, not running, but doing exercise.
That's another good question. It's hard to answer that. So I don't include. So when I do my overall training, I don't include the gym work. That's kind of supplementary, but it's important. I just monitor. I measure that by the reps and the intensity of the weight. But this week, I'm not doing a lot. So this week it'll be 326 minutes. Last week was 291. But I did have a bit of a kind of head cold, so I
What
was
is that in
just.
hours, mate? I don't do
In
minutes
hours,
anymore.
okay, good. That's 5.5 hours this week. Last week was just short of 5. And then, yeah, the week before was five and a half. Yeah, 5.5 as well. So, no, nearly 6 hours actually. That's 6 plus, 6 plus. Yeah. So, it's, but so you're asking about that's total training. But then if we take away. Yeah, so I'm running probably 100 to, so 1.5 to 2 hours running, and then the rest is cross training. So you're looking at between 3 to 4 hours of cross training.
Okay, and that's
Yeah, so
basically going from 5 or 6 to 3 to 4. So
yeah.
you basically replaced each minute of cross training with more running. Is
Yeah,
that the fair approach?
and I think like for like, that's actually more quality because I don't often replicate the same intensity in the gym. And I always find that running, because of the loading as well, the actual overall fatigue is more. But anyway, I'm looking at working towards running. If I'm doing more running, I think the quality of my training is higher. That's how I look at it.
So I will say that when I went for that run and ruined my body again, as I do every month or two, oh, maybe this time it'll be different. Oh no, it's the same but worse. My heart rate was a good 15 to 20 beats higher for the same kind of approach, just because of the heat outside, because of the people around me, because I was in a group now. And the actual exercise stuff. So lots of things contributed, but it's like I'm not going to be the same intensity outside running than I am. I'd have to be at walking pace. It's not quite as bad as walking pace, but it's not far off. I know it's different for you, but I guess I had one idea or one suggestion, unsolicited, of course, is that you actually take down the overall volume as you do more of the fast running or the bits of it that are more than steady, because it's still 6 hours is still a lot of exercise. Well, I say that, but I think my perspective is so skewed now, Damien, of what a lot of exercise is. When I look back and think, how much did I used to run and how tired did I used to be? It's the distant memory sometimes.
I can put it very, very simply. So I've never trained big volumes for a number of reasons, just lifestyle, niggles, and what I find. And I tend to have quite good quality in the training. So, but generally speaking, my average was probably 50 to 50, 55 miles, probably when I'm, there's not a lot. So you're looking at that, say 7 minutes. So miling, so 300, no, to 300 to 450 minutes of running, and 100%, that's far more exhausting than what I'm doing now. So, and secondly, yeah, when I'm running, definitely just for the undulations, the weather, the wind, my heart rate average is probably it's higher, running. So yeah, I'd have to go and do interval training in the gym to get it that high and be working at significantly more effort. So yeah, I'm not doing that much, but I'm wary of that. I've come to a point now where I'm running, so I need to. That should be the focus. The cross training is there as a supplementary, keep me active and just give me a routine of training. So the idea is to get back to running at least an hour a day, yeah, something like that. So yeah, super. Okay, we're going to go on to our pet peeves. So what's and we there could be many of these, but what do Richard and I find irritating or yeah, about the current runners or the current running scene. So I'm going to start, and mine is GPS and GPS inaccuracies. Most runners should know that there are many inaccuracies with GPS, one being tree coverage, second being corners. Most GPS tracking is done over a kind of average over a straight line. The more you turn, the more inaccurate it becomes. So, like calling, yeah, a PB off a Strava PB or a GPS PB, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. There is a runner that I know that claimed a PB from running around the car park, doing a 5K round a car
No.
park during COVID. Yes, yeah, I'm not lying. Claimed that they got a PB, and it was laughable. It was just like you could see on the track, it was just loads of lines going around one another. And yeah, I've just run a PB in the car park. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but the only PBs that count are, well, the track is the most accurate, because you can't, the track doesn't lie, and you have to run the shortest way around to run the exact distance. So often you could be running slightly more. I mean, road races, yes, if they are verified, but we've seen verified road races where there have been inaccuracies with the placement of cones. Like Brighton Marathon a few years ago, was they were doing roadworks, then one of the marshals didn't put the cone at the right place, and it was 100, 200 meters short, something like that. So I personally think the track is the only place where you can claim a accredited PB. So yeah, just and yeah, don't yeah, that I just yeah, that is my main gripe. Richard, what's yours?
Yeah, okay, so this is difficult, right? Because I've been away from running for so long, like in terms of the running scene. So I'm trying to portal myself back to being a angry 25-year-old, or at least a 25-year-old. Still angry.
You're still
No.
angry. You're still
Yeah.
angry.
No. Is people who never raced the track season and said they're cross-country runners. And just stopped running or did something else for ages and then wondered why they were running poorly. Or in the same vein, like people who only race marathon, but were it's almost as like no other races exists. I mean, this is obviously fueled by how I started running, which was on the track and the cross country. But yeah, I mean, I was used to think, what, just run all year round and then race the races that are around and then carry on to the next ones. But like, oh, I don't do track. It's too hard. It's just running. It's the same thing as cross country. It's just for shorter and faster. Or I didn't do, or people who never did sessions. Just do a fart leg, mate. It's fine. It's no big
Yeah,
deal.
I think yes, I agree that yeah, like running on the track is you can't really. There's no hiding place, and yeah, it's still a race. It's just there's less people and the quality can be higher, but you can still find races for your own standard as well. So yeah, I don't get that. It's like I don't race well on the track. I haven't got speed. Well, no, you haven't. You're not training on the track. You're not doing specific work. That's why you haven't, achieved. Oh, it's boring if you run around in circles. Come on, it's not that you're not running a marathon on the track.
I will say that me just saying that aloud makes me feel like I'm being a terrible human being, right? But I think what I saw that frustrated me, and I think it still does, is just the amount of people who would, it's only because they were unprepared. It's not because they weren't good at it or couldn't do it. It's because whatever they were doing that they thought made them fit was not in any way making them ready for intense competition. And it's not actually a big step to do some strides, some minute reps, some 200s for like 6 or 7 weeks when you're used to training. I remember when I was coaching at the high school and I was coaching sprinters. It took a lot of convincing, but it took a while. You have to like spend time doing whatever work it is to say, ah, turns out I can run a 30-second 200. And actually, unless I'm going to run a sub 4 minute mile, there's very few times I have to run any faster than that on a track or anywhere close to that. And it's okay. Yeah.
I would say, yeah, I remember I've talked to quite a few athletes that they've raced on the track or they've done track sessions. It's, oh, I always get injured when I run on the track. Well, and often that's because they've gone from whatever cross country running, maybe doing some road reps, and then just going straight into doing, 15 by 400 at whatever, like 5K. I mean, of course, if you don't allow adaptation, often it's just about adaptation and maybe just building up some strength in the lower limb, allowing the adaptation over 4 weeks, and building from, six, eight or four reps to 8 to 12 to 16. So yeah, it's not doing the requisite preparation of the strength work.
Do you remember the person, whoever they were, some abstract person who always used to either race long runs and then train poorly on the track every week, or every time it was like a recovery run, they would be off the front and be like, the big man, and then run 2 minutes slower than they should every time they came to
Hell yeah. Especially as
a race?
a young athlete. Yeah, great trainers,
Oh,
great trainers, but just well, yeah, just overtrained and just couldn't hold back and then come to race day. Yeah. This one, yeah, that was always funny because yeah, it's
oh
there
no, it
always
was
people.
sad, man. It's not funny. I see it was like, oh, you're doing you're all this effort, all this intensity, it's just going into like obviously the wrong place for at least for running faster. I mean, if you want to just, run and train and I mean, I never saw people who did all this and didn't want to run faster, right? They always still wanted to run faster, and it was just this perpetual cycle of, oh, what's going wrong? Well, I can, we all know what's going wrong, but whatever the reasons are is their reasons,
Yeah, and I think if it, and I, sometimes it could be that the coach hasn't advised them properly, or that they're one of those athletes that just don't listen as well, and or a combination of just that they want it so badly that they feel they have to train really hard. But it's, yeah, and you have to learn the lesson. You have to learn the lesson.
I'm going to add one other possibility, which is when you're training, for example, as I know I did with people who are really good, who are just a lot faster than you, and every single day, if you take it personally, you're just getting hammered. I was running some of my best races when, I would go off the front of the group to do reps, and Adam would always come flying past me. No matter how well I was running, he was running faster. Which can be tough if you're a 15, 16, 17 year old. So you get to the easy days and you get your win. You get your, oh, yeah, see, I am that good. When really, all things are the same. But, there's that element of, I want to feel like I'm doing something. But if you're around people who are really, really good,
You get sucked
especially if
into
you,
it. Yeah.
yeah, especially when you look and you think, okay, I look at some of the times my teammates ran as 18, 19 year olds, and there's a strong possibility that in my entire time running, I will never run faster than that. So I run hard in the long run,
Yeah. And I think that
annoying
yeah, the
because
true test, I mean, the true test of fitness is a race, isn't it? And then yeah, it's not training. So, but we learn our lessons and we move on from that.
Well, I don't know if I learned my lessons, Damien. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, you still got time to learn if you can.
Okay,
Cool.
that's that positive
Okay, so
pro
I think we've covered a slightly pet peeves there, and good recap of our training. Hope that so we'll go back to the 2 fortnightly recap, and hopefully we'll make more progress and see what lies ahead. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for your time. And
Thanks, Dan.
good luck with the training.
Cheers.